Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, October 28th, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 38, paragraph 1, beginning with, on through the years, this conduct, and ends with, such a man would be crazy, wouldn't he? Today's readers are Rhonda R. for the 12 Steps, Harvey S. for the 12 Traditions. Eileen M. will be reading and commenting on our text. Jordan L., page 164. And Jody E. is here for backup. Thank you all for your service this month. The reference number for today's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, that's Friday, October 28th, is 19572. And the reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for October 27th is 19568. So yesterday's 10 a.m., 19568, and this morning's Friday, 7 a.m. is 19572. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps.
Thank you for your service, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. I'm Rhonda R. in Georgia. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. And I'll now ask Harvey S. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you. This is Harvey S. in Atlanta. Thank you for your service, Rhonda, and everybody else that makes this meeting possible every day. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself. In our group conscience, our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group I never endorsed, finance, or lend, the OA name, any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and fees divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you very much, Harvey S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 38, reading the first paragraph, which I will ask Eileen M. to please read for us.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Eileen M., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. On through the years, this conduct continues, accompanied by his continual promises to be careful or to keep off the streets altogether. Finally, he can no longer work. His wife gets a divorce, and he is held up to ridicule. He tries every known means to get the jaywalking idea out of his head. He shuts himself up in an asylum, hoping to mend his ways. But the day he comes out, he races in front of a fire engine, which breaks his back. Such a man would be crazy, wouldn't he? So this is a great example of not being able to bring to mind the memory of the consequences of the first bite. And, you know, it just means losing the power of choice. You know, the definition of powerlessness is no choice. And, you know, can I relate to this? Oh, yes, 100%. You know, I remember that when I would overeat, I could not remember what the last binge felt like. And every time I did it, you know, the action was motivated by expecting a different outcome. You know, it was the classic definition of insanity. I kept doing the same thing over and over, and I never got a different outcome. You know, I did plenty of research, and it was always the same, you know, it was always the same consequences. And, you know, I used to think that, you know, it's almost like I just couldn't remember what it felt like. And it was almost like the experience before had been erased. You know, I couldn't bring it to mind. And here's the question is, okay, if I know better, how come I couldn't do better? You know, in the sentence before this paragraph, it says he made a decision to stop. And so here he is doing it again, right? Well, why couldn't I, you know, when I knew I felt so awful after these binges, why couldn't I stop, you know? And, you know, we can see that it's progressive because he starts out, he gets slightly injured. Then that progresses to the next time he gets a fractured skull. Then the next time he breaks, you know, last time he breaks both legs, but he still keeps doing it over and over. And, you know, the promise of step two is that I could be restored to sanity by a power greater than myself. So all I had to do was seek that power. You know, I had to admit powerlessness, and then I had to, you know, take actions to seek that power that could help me. And I'm so grateful that I, you know, I was, when I did this, I was ready to do it. I was completely done and I was ready. And, you know, it's just a matter of hitting bottom, you know, and getting that gift of desperation. I'm so grateful. So thanks so much. I pass.
Thank you very much, Eileen M. Okay, we value everybody's experience, but we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience as well. So if you'd like to comment on this paragraph and you haven't shared in the last two days, then please press star one to unmute. Let me know.
Felicia from New York.
Felicia from
Sarah
New York.
L.
Sarah
10
L. 10 W.
Veronica B.
Veronica B. Anybody else?
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B. Okay, beautiful.
Carla C.
So we have Carla C. All right. We have Felicia. I didn't get your first initial of the last name. Kara L. Ken W. H. Veronica B. Bonnie B. And Carla C. Awesome. Please share with us, Felicia. And what's the first initial of your last name?
F.
F is in Frank?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Please share.
Oh, you want me to share now? Oh.
Yes, please.
Hi, my name is Felicia, compulsive overeater, sugar addict. I can really relate to this situation with the jaywalker. When I was younger, I used to go into people's homes and steal their desserts from their cupboards. And I was caught numerous times and it went through the consequences, but it was just an addiction. I couldn't stop. And now recently, showing up in OA, I kept doing these behaviors and being out of control, and my overeating has now led to cirrhosis of the liver. And I've only been in OA for a year, and I've reversed my diabetes and changed my behavior and established a relationship with my higher power by the grace of God. And it's a struggle each time, but I'm so happy that I'm now finally living my life. Thank you so much for letting me share.
That's wonderful. Glad you're here, Felicia. Okay, Kara L., you're up next, followed by Ken W. H.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you for everybody who does service on our meeting to keep it going. There's just a couple lines in here that really speak to me. You know, his conduct continues, accompanied by his continual promises to be careful or to keep off the streets altogether. You know, how many Monday mornings did I have? How many New Year's Eves did I have? How many just Wednesdays did I have that I made continual promises? Tomorrow, I will get up in the morning and I will start. I will eat my diet, and I did. I got up in the morning, and when I went to bed at night, I believed, I truly believed I could get up and do it. And I would get up, I would have that diet breakfast, and then I would continue to eat through the rest of the day until I got to the evening where I would be demoralized and defeated, and I would say, tomorrow I will do it. And I believed it in that moment. Then I would get up and I would eat my diet breakfast, and I would continue to eat the rest of the day. And it went on and on like that. And every morning and every evening, I believed. I believed that my self-will could do it. I believed that if I was a better person, I could do it. Until the day I couldn't. I could no longer get up in the morning and believe. So what had to happen? Well, I had to work these steps. I had to come to a place that I really believed that I couldn't do it alone, and that a power greater than me would have to come and help me. And the day I opened my heart to that, that's when recovery began. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Kara L. Ken W. H., you're up next, followed by Veronica B.
Thank you. This is Ken W. H. from North Carolina. Recovered compulsive overeater. I'm just struck that the progression is shown in these two paragraphs about the jaywalker. He starts out just kind of skipping in front of cars and across the street, and then he ends up racing in front of fire engines and whatever. The progression is clearer there. And if that's the case with me, it starts out simply, and the next thing you know, it's full-blown. And I'm struck, too, that I think there's another part of the physical addiction. Yeah, I have the allergy to certain foods that when I take them, I just want more, and I go for more. I race to them, so to speak. I think there's also an element of adrenaline rush in this, especially with thinking about a jaywalker. I can think of it with respect to another addiction of mine that I am recovered from, that it was all about adrenaline. And I would race after more and more of that adrenaline hit, dangerously so, in the behaviors I was practicing. So it's real similar, this need to feel differently than I did, and to get that sense of rush, of euphoria for however many seconds it lasted. But it was still nonetheless the addiction, and it showed up with the food all the time. So I'm grateful today to know that, and to know that the doctor's opinion gives me what I need, as does more about alcoholism. Great chapters. Spend time in, I continue to spend time. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Ken W.H. Veronica B., you're up next, followed by Bonnie B.
Hi, good morning. I'm Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater from California, and thank you for your service. This jaywalker, I have it in my book written, Jaywalker, this is why I can't eat red and yellow light foods. So for me, the jaywalker illustrates my compulsive eating. Is like, I really don't want to binge eat, but I can't help myself. Something drives me to do it every single time. And when I was in high school, I was a gym monitor, and I would go through the women's locker to get money so I can go off campus and go eat my chili cheeseburgers, chili cheese fries, Coke, and dessert. And then I discovered bulimia, that I can eat and purge it all up. And I thought I had arrived. You know, I thought I had found my solution to my life problems, because my whole life I felt apart from, my whole life I felt disconnected from you. And I was really disconnected from God. But I was finding that connection in food. And when I discovered bulimia, I would wake up and I would say, okay, God, today I'm not going to eat and throw up. Today I'm not going to do it. And then I would take that compulsive first bite, and then that would lead me to a binge, you know. And I'm talking like I would eat my alcoholic foods, which are flour and sugar and most processed foods. And I really didn't want to go to the food, but I couldn't help myself. And when I came to Overeaters Anonymous, I was taught a new way of living. I was taught that if I just get a relationship with the higher power of my understanding, that God would restore me to sanity. And instead of going to the food, I would go to Him. And you guys taught me that as long as I live by these spiritual principles and I live by them, then I will be closer to God and I will be doing God's will. Because on my own, like, I cannot stay stopped. You know, I can stop for a week or two, but I can't stay stopped from picking up my binge food. So I need a psychic change. I need a change of how I think, how I see the world. And the steps is the only solution for me. And because I cannot afford to live by fear or by resentment. And if you stay, you know, in this program long enough, you will face fear and resentment. And I had to find a way to be okay when those crop up. And that's what the steps do for me. They help me live a day at a time with ease and comfort. The food just to give me today, God gives me that. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Veronica B. Bonnie B is up next and will be followed by Carla C. Please share with us, Bonnie.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Bonnie B. from Minnesota, recovered for today by the grace of God. Oh, my. So on through the years, this conduct continues. You know, the most beautiful thing about this big book is that when we look closely, we can see ourselves. I could see myself. You know, my sponsor had me do a food history, and that was so insightful to me because, you know, as I sat with the God of my understanding, which is the God of the Bible, he illuminated for me what I've done with food throughout the course of the years. And brought to light really for the first time that this is something that's been in me forever, as far back as I can remember. And as I looked at it and looked at the, you know, what I did with it, and the promises I made, I came to the conclusion it was never lack of a desire. I wanted to stop. That's why I'd lay in bed at night and just plead with God that he would change me. I didn't want to be what I didn't want to do what I was doing. There was such shame connected to it. But it wasn't until I came into, as you had said earlier, Elaine, into a vision where we started studying the book. I mean, really studying the book, where I came to understand this is part of my DNA. It's in me. And it's okay for it to be part of my DNA. I just needed a solution. And God has given me the solution, this book. But prior to coming to this program, I did not know there was a solution. And this was my MO. This is what I did. And all that led back to a deeper despair and a greater shame and a greater guilt, because I knew it wasn't what other people did and I didn't want to do it. But, you know, that first sentence, you know, that through the years makes me think of getting to that point where all of a sudden I wake up and I think, I can't do it. And I came into this program with a relationship with what I consider the God of my, you know, my God. And I had a big, long checklist of things that I did every day, and that was totally different than what I do right now. I used to offer God my list, and my list made me feel accomplished at the end. And at the end of the day, I would still pick up the food and binge. And now I offer him my heart, and I know that all he wants is my heart. And when I give him my heart, he does what only he can do for me. And he has, he does, and he continues to keep me close to him, which provides the safety that I need to do what he wants me to do with regards to the foods that I eat every day. And so this paragraph can be sad or it can be one of hope, because in the end, we have the answer. And it's a revelation that, you know, without a connection with God, we can't do it. But all we have to do is just look deeply within and do what the steps tell us to do, and he gives us the freedom that we need for today. And with that, I'll pass, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Bonnie B. And Carla C. is up next, and after she shares, we'll be taking another lineup on page 38, paragraph 1, begins with on through the years and ends with would be crazy, wouldn't he? So Carla C., please share with us, and then we'll take another lineup. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elaine, and everyone that's shared so far. I'm just so grateful for this meeting. In the past, I've had blocks in my heart which separate me from my higher power, and that's, you know, the craziness of this disease. I found out that if I feel betrayal, that I look for the thrill in the food. And I'm just so grateful that I know the truth today, that I invite God into my heart, and I can see that God is faithful, and he can restore me to sanity. And despite, you know, following the steps and the principles of this program, I get closer to my higher power, and I just feel so much hope and joy in my life, and I'm just so grateful. Thanks for letting me share, Carla in California.
Thank you very much, Carla C. Okay, the Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 2 days and you'd like to comment on page 38, paragraph 1, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Josh R.
Josh R.
Nancy L.
Nancy L. and Mo H. Anybody else?
Drew D.
Gayla. Gayla S.
Drew D. and Gayla S. Okay, that sounds great. So we have Josh R., Nancy L., Mo H., Drew D., and Gayla S. Please share with us, Josh. Okay, Josh R.
Hi, this is Josh R. Sorry about that. I muted myself. So I'm just reading here, and I'm trying to understand this. So it says, on through the years, this conduct continues, accompanied by his continual promises to be careful or to keep off the streets together. So trying to understand this, and to me it's just saying he's trying to be careful, meaning he's trying to use willpower. He's trying to do this on his own. He's, you know, swearing that he's not going to do this again. He's going to be careful. But that doesn't work. His willpower doesn't work. So he tries every means to get the jaywalking idea out of his head. He's trying everything to get this obsession out of his head. He goes to an asylum. He does everything. He tries every possible means to get rid of the obsession, but that still doesn't work for him. It's because he's not working the steps. It's because he's not having that psychic change. He's not doing what is necessary to get that power greater than himself, so that he doesn't have to rely on his willpower. So that's what I get out of that paragraph. And I just wanted to share that. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much, Josh R. Nancy L., you're up next, followed by Mo H.
Good morning. This is Nancy L. in Southern California. And I know a lot of people during this review of the jaywalker said they can't identify. As soon as I read this, I completely identified. I saw that this was me. And I love the fact that the writers use something so abstract and ridiculous to show us how ridiculous, show me how ridiculous my behavior is. Because had he said alcoholic or overeater, I wouldn't have wanted to identify yet. But when he showed something so ridiculous that you have to agree of the absurdity and then relate it to yourself, like, oh my goodness, that is completely me. So what really gets me is he tries every known means to get the idea out of his head. I tried every known means to get this out of my head, surgery, every, you know, program known to man, spent thousands and thousands and tears and relationships and everything to get this. And, you know, it did lead to broken relationships with family members and things like that. And unfortunately, we don't have an asylum we get to go to. I guess there are places we can go, but it didn't get that far. But I really am so grateful for the way that this is written and the way that it can identify in. And I am just truly grateful that it further continues to show us the solution to our crazy ideas that we have in our head that we can't get rid of. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you very much, Nancy L. Mo H., you are up next, followed by Drew D.
Hey, good morning, Elaine, and thanks for your service and everybody giving service on this meeting. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. You know, it was like some of the shares yesterday when I first read this story of the jaywalker. I thought, what has this got to do with my problem? I could not understand it. But as I studied the big book with this wonderful vision group, I started to understand more and more and learn more and more. So one of the things I see here going on is that he promises, he tries. Some of the words I've highlighted, and crazy. And I made many, many promises to myself that I would stop, you know, at midnight. My midnight was my stopping hour, or I would start, you know, the great Monday, or, you know, on the first of the month, or New Year's Day, whatever it was. And never could I follow through more than a day or two. But there was one time that I went on a specific, you know, one of those diets that I really lost a lot of weight, and I even went underweight, and I was just so proud of myself that I was so skinny. And then, you know, that idea that I could have a little, that crazy thought, this disease I discovered in OA is mental, not physical. It's not the food is the problem. It's my emotions are the problem. And if I don't deal with my emotions on a daily basis, I am bound to slip or relapse again. But I went on this diet and I lost all this weight, and then, talk about crazy, I just started eating like normal and I gained it all back. Is that not crazy? That is crazy. So, you know, I need to make the decision, which is step two, like everybody else is saying, and really lean into my higher power. And, you know, day after day after day, keep practicing the steps and using 10, 11, and 12 as growing steps. Those are the ones that keep me centered and sane and balanced. And, you know, when life throws me curveballs, I can use those steps, especially 10, to help me deal with the curveball and to work through the situation. And, you know, it's happened a lot recently, and that's how I work my program on a daily basis. So this paragraph I can relate to, like all the talk about the jaywalker. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you again.
Thank you very much, Mo H. Drew D., you are up next, followed by Gayla S.
Thanks very much. This is Drew D. Drew D. in New York. Definitely a compulsive overeater and restrictor. I wish I could not identify with this. I wish I could look at this paragraph and consider it completely absurd. But a lot of the shares, the honesty, the service of folks showing up has really helped me see and recognize all the promises that I've made, my attempts to be careful. To keep off the streets altogether, all the things that I've done with good intention, but that are still ultimately my attempts at self-will. And then I catch myself turning back around and blaming a higher power or the program for my failures, when what I was really trying to rely on, again, I with good intention, but with a dishonesty about where I think the source of power is coming from, is all my attempts to be more responsible, to be better. And I think there's a certain kind of high that I don't read in this paragraph, but I think if I can identify in that comes out in this racing back in front of the fire engine, breaking his back, the injury becoming progressively more serious. I read that paragraph and I identify with a certain kind of high I get, not just from the food, but from the experience, the drama, the risk of going back in and out and relapsing. And it makes absolutely no sense, but I'm so grateful for this program to know that it isn't supposed to make sense. It's diseased thinking. And this paragraph really helps me know and see that I do get something not just out of the food, but out of the experience of going back to the food and living in that cycle. There's a level of hopelessness that for some reason I'm drawn to, or I does something for me. There's a relief that comes from failure sometimes that I know I need to replace with connection with a higher power, because it's gonna kill me. So I'm really, really can't say thank you enough for everyone's service on this call today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Drew D. Gayla S., you are up next. And after Gayla, we have time for a couple more shares on page 38, paragraph 1.
Gayla S. Pretty sure.
That's Hello. That. Yes, this is Gayla S. I'm sorry. Yes,
okay.
I'm so grateful for all of you that this meeting is available, the service everyone is giving, and I'm so grateful that I have found OA. It saved my life and is saving my life. When I was a teenager over 50 years ago, my father took me to an amusement park. And in the amusement park, it was up the called Lagoon, and there was a crazy house there, those the place where you walk in, and they have those mirrors that distort and all those. And one of the attractions inside the crazy house was a large barrel on its side, kind of a big cylinder. And you were supposed to walk from one end, open end, to the other open end. So I started going through this cylinder, and it's spinning. It's going round and round and round, and the goal is to walk in and walk out. And as I walked in, I started tumbling and falling and trying to stand up and falling again and falling again. And my father was at the other end, the open end, which was the destination. And I really was lost. I was totally out of control. And my father was at the open end saying, keep your focus on me. Look at me. Look at me. And I was tumbling. I just wasn't listening to him. And at one point, I did look at him and I did focus on him. And I got to the end of that tunnel, that cylinder, and walked out. It was a traumatic experience. It was not a fun thing. But I learned, it was a metaphor for me, I learned that the parallel is keep my focus, keep my thoughts and my heart and my mind on my Father, who is my Heavenly Father, my God, and that will get me through. So that experience reminds me of the tumultuous experience of being into the food, into the sugar, into that horrible, horrible, horrible cycle going round and round and round and not being able to get out. I desperately wanted to get out of the food addiction, and I just could not do it until I found OA and practicing this program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
What a powerful picture. Thank you very much, Gail F. Okay, we do have time for maybe three more shares. Although we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you haven't shared in the last 2 days and you'd like to comment on page 38, paragraph 1, please press star 1 to unmute. We would love to hear from you and give us your name.
Audrey M.P.
Audrey M.P.
Karen S. from Ohio.
Janice K. and Karen S., I believe I heard. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's all we're going to have time for. All right. I got Audrey M.P., Janice K., and Karen S. Please share with us, Audrey.
Good morning, Team Friday. Thank you, Elaine. And this is Audrey M.P. Well, for everybody on the team, this is Audrey M.P. I'm calling from Santa Monica, and I'm out of breath because I got out of bed today and I went for a walk, and I love this jaywalker thing. My jaywalker thing is, well, first of all, I appreciate everyone who's shared, and I want to welcome people that are new or identifying as new or coming back. The jaywalker thing for me is that every morning at like, 5:30 or 5:45, I think, I'm going to get out of bed. I'm going to go for a walk just around the block to see what the juice is flowing. Every day I just sit there. Go on Facebook, shop on Amazon, kind of got the meeting at 7 o'clock going in the background. And, you know, I've found myself in a really tricky funk. And I say my prayers. I read the God of my understanding is my Bible. My new Bible. We read the 12 steps and God's word all in the same book. I love it so much. And, you know, I've really been in a funk, and I'm going through this thing, and it's a very challenging thing, and I'm not doing it alone. I'm doing it with my higher power, 12 Steps to Alcoholics Anonymous, the group me, 10 steps every day. And, you know, today is like a new dawning, and I don't know, I just need to get through the day. I just feel like I needed to give my little shout out of praise that God can do for me what I can't do for myself, but he can't make me change my mind about a choice that I already have in my mind, that I'm going to stay in bed, or that I'm going to eat this, or that I'm going to put this in my cart, or I'm going to open this bag while I'm driving, because I often find myself to the bottom of it before I even get home. And then I get home and I call it dinner, you know, lunch, whatever. I really need to be restored to sanity. I really need my higher power and all of you to help me know who that is. And right now I'm seeking God's mercy and grace in the truth of my life and the decisions I have to make, because they're in front of me and they're all good. They can't be bad. And to stay out of my pity party and to help others. And with that, I thank you all really running the meeting today and for hearing all my favorite voices this morning, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Audrey MP. Good to hear you too. And so we have Janice K up next, followed by Karen F. Please share with us, Janice.
Oh, thank you. This is Janice K in Oregon, and I have thoroughly enjoyed the last two paragraphs. They have just been a delight. Let's take an ordinary activity, something that everybody can do safely. Oh, like walking down the street. And as long as people, me, I observe certain simple customs and rules, it's totally safe. And I can safely move from X to Y and no problem occurs. Now let's take another ordinary activity with sensible rules, something like, eating. And there I am on the sidewalk and I cannot observe the rules. I jump the curb, I see the car coming, and I just decide to go for it anyway. I by myself cannot break the cycle. I don't care whether you say it's sick or crazy or broken. I can't change the way I am. I have to give that over to a power greater than myself. And another thing I really treasure from yesterday was someone made the comment that God is their GPS system. Well, you know what? I need a GPS system too. And for me, I look at that and I think, hey, that stands nicely for guidance and protection service. Oh, boy, when it comes to food and food rules, I need a guidance and protection service. So, you know, I have treasured what I have learned from these, and I thank you all so much for your sharing. I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice K. Karen S., you are up next.
Hi, this is Karen S. from Ohio. And I just wanted to say that ever since I first read this story, I have related so much to the jaywalker. And that doesn't he value his life? You know, why would he take such risks? And I ask myself, why would I take such risks with my binging and with my overeating? And in the last month, I've been in a psychiatric hospital for a week, and I still found a way to binge there. And it's like nothing will stop me, and I feel like the jaywalker. I feel like it's like nothing gets my attention sometimes. I wish I was out of the food. I wish I was recovered, but wishing doesn't do it. And I'm looking for, you know, to commit to this, but I struggle with it. And, I was in the hospital for depression, and that's related to my food. And it's insane. I mean, the insanity of the jaywalker and the insanity of my continuous staying in the food when I know that I'm over 300 pounds and I will probably die early of this disease. And it scares me, yet not enough to make me change. And, just like the jaywalker, continuously getting hurt worse and worse every time, but still he doesn't learn his lesson. And at the end of the story, it doesn't say that he learned his lesson. And I hope that my story will end differently and that I will finally get it. I thank you. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you very, very much. We do have time for one two-minute share. If anybody would like to take a last comment on page 38, paragraph 1, the jaywalker.
Liz A. from Michigan.
Please share, Liz A.
Hi, this is Liz A. from Michigan, and I rarely share, and I don't want to, and that's when I need to. And this paragraph is so powerful to me. As I heard, there was something and is something in that rush, the adrenaline that would make me step back into the street. The food for me was a way to hide the inner unmanageability of my life. I wanted on the outside to portray that I had this together thing, happy go lucky, and inside I just had so much shame about the food addiction. And as someone else said, I had discovered bulimia because then I could hide. And so like the jaywalker, I would just hide my injuries, and that's what I felt I needed to do, was just hide and put out this persona. And inside I was killing myself. And when I came into OA, 1986, the only way I knew how to medicate the unmanageability was with food. I did come in with a God of my understanding and didn't know how to invite him into this disease. And I really needed to open up to people. And that was the key. It says somewhere that we were never meant to do this alone. And so one day at a time, I live a healthy, whole life with the help of God and these meetings. Thank you.
Well, thank you very, very much. Oh, were you finished? I'm sorry.
Yes, I was finished. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Liz Kay. What a great way to finish such a powerful meeting. Thank you, everybody. And we're now going to close the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jordan L. please read A Vision for You?
Yes, thank
Jordan,
you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Elaine, for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L., a recovered compulsive overeater, grateful to be on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous and Abstinent this morning. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Hear freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.